down the row. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by and let us know it's your first time here, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. If you're an elder, a deacon, or a junior deacon, please do plan to attend one of the remaining sessions to learn how we set up and prepare for the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. The next one's going to be tomorrow, Monday the 13th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Or, if you can't make that one, there'll be one more during the Sunday school hour on Sunday, January 26th. It'll be here in the sanctuary as well, right after first service. There's a flyer in this morning's bulletin, which is a reminder that we have officially begun our 2020 pledge drive, as we hope to raise the funds to make it possible to employ a youth director for the youngest among us. The back of each Sunday's bulletin will also tell you what's been pledged week by week, Sunday by Sunday, and the cumulative amount that remains in our account. Leaders of the church will be meeting once again with Reverend Bill Roseheim. We met with him last Thursday. We'll meet with him again this Thursday evening. Then, next Sunday, January 19th, Bill will be here to share the Sunday morning message for us and then lead participants in further discussions immediately after the fellowship dinner, which will be a turkey dinner thank you potluck lunch. And Bill will help us to create the congregational profile that will help us to promote our congregation to prospective candidates for the part-time youth director position. I want to thank once again Josh Whistler for being here to lead us in worship as Andrew and Raina are enjoying their honeymoon. And what better day to pick to leave Kansas City and go to the Caribbean, which is where they went to. So welcome, Josh. Thanks for being here this morning. Are there any other announcements this morning? All right, here's Josh.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise his supreme greatness. Praise the Lord. And please remain standing for hymn number 558, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear thy children when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear thy children when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love of our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Thank you, Jace Ekrit, for being our acolyte this morning. We be bound a word of prayer. Holy God, we marvel at the beauty of the seasons and give thanks for all they bring. Yes, even the snow that blankets our ground this morning. And yet, even with the cold temperatures, we see birds gathered around our bird feeders, and we're reminded that every creature has a purpose and a season. We realize our own seasons are but a blip in time. So, Lord, we ask to make the best of our time here on earth, that we do your will and treat each other as you instruct us in your word. As we begin our worship together this morning, we seek your living presence to guide each of us into the life you have in store. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Good morning. Boy, you get a little snow and it kind of clears the kids out, doesn't it? What do we got here? What have I got? Snowflakes. Do you guys like the snow? Do you like to play in the snow? Do you like snow angels? Mm-hmm. Do you like making snowballs, taking these and all squishing them all together and making snowballs? And throwing them at Aunt Anna? Uh-huh. Yeah. Just saying. I used to like the snow a whole lot when I was a kid. It was lots of fun to play in the snow. Don't like to play in the snow so much anymore. Nope. But I still like the snow because it's beautiful. Snowflakes are so amazing. So you like the snow. Do you like dust? I think that face says it all. Aha. Uh-huh. But did you know that if you don't have dust, you can't have snowflakes? Uh-huh. Yeah, see, I love these. What are you... Snowflakes start out as a little tiny speck of dust. And as it floats around and it gets higher and higher and goes higher and higher, it gets wet. And then it keeps going higher and higher and it starts to freeze. And then other little specks stick to it. And as it floats around, it keeps sticking to it until it makes snowflakes. And then, when they get big enough, and everything is just right, we get snow. They come back down and they snow. And did you know it snows all year? Even in the summer? But not so much. Rain is just snow that as it came down, it got too warm, so it melted. So then it's rain. So it snows all year long. They just don't look the same. If I take all those snows and I make a snowball that's about the size of a baseball, do you know how many snowflakes it takes to do that? Lots. How many? How many you think? It takes about 7,000 snowflakes to make a snowball the size of a baseball. Oh, 7,000 snowflakes. That is so amazing. It's God made, and God made all that. All of this whole thing. Isn't that amazing that God thought of all of that and how to get it all to work together? Yeah. That's why I think snowflakes are so beautiful, because they remind me of God. They remind me of how amazing God is. So I don't have to go out and play in it. It amazes me even more when I don't have to go out in it. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the snow and the sunshine and the rain. Thank you for these children. Please be with us as we go through our week. Keep everyone safe. Let us always remember that everything in our lives and everything we see and touch and do is because of your blessings on our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, you know, if it takes dust to create snow, I believe that the ductwork on my 40-year-old house ought to just be full of snow. Don't you think? Goodness sakes. Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, we're certainly mindful of the many who are not able to be present with us today. Certainly, many of our families with younger children especially are not with us today. As we journey through the week, we want to lift up Ken and Roxy Weaver and their family with the passing of Ken's mother, LaVon Weaver. She passed away into the Lord's presence yesterday morning. Ken and his family is meeting with the funeral home tomorrow. And so as soon as we have more word about when that service will be taking place, we'll get that word out to the congregation. At North Kansas City Hospital, Roscoe Shipley and Catherine O'Neill are both there all through this past week and making better progress. We lift up Rihanna Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon. It's been discovered that she's got possibly an inoperable tumor on top of all the other health issues that she's been dealing with. And, of course, the question about the heart valve surgery is just on the back burner with everything else she's dealing with. Dave Haynes, I will be going to the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis on the 3rd of February, looking at the possibility of a lung transplant. So remember Dave and Ardith Haynes. In Katie Turner's family, we're lifting up her cousin, Adele Sloniger. Katie's saying that has heard that he's okay, right? Things are okay for him as he's in the green zone in Baghdad serving as a U.S. Army a physician. So we certainly lift up our men and women in uniform service, especially in the Middle East. We continue to remember Robin Egret and Anna Egret, Glenn Bartley, Jill McCombie, Gail Roller, all recovering from surgeries, Michelle and Jesus Jacobo in the midst of her continued treatments, Wanda Egret's brother, Leon, Klaus Stark's sister, Angela, Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, Lita Bouquet's sister, or son-in-law, Joel Valley. And in Ted Ferris's family, we're lifting up Cindy Berry, Pam Mattis, and Cheryl, the wife of his son, Chris. So a number of people we've been lifting up, and we're grateful that those of you who are able to be in worship with us today are here. Thank you so much. May we bow our heads before the Lord's prayer, for the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to lift up our praises to you this Lord's Day. Even as the weather has been snowy and cold outside, we know our hearts are warmed by our fellowship with fellow believers and by the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we find comfort in the text of James chapter 4, verse 8, which reminds us that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. As this past week unfolded with threats of war and numerous disasters, we are once again reminded that life is often filled with challenges and uncertainties. Yet no matter what may prevail, your word reminds us that your love for us is steadfast and forevermore. For Psalm 117 declares, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." And as Lamentations 3 reminds us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And above all concerns in this earthly existence, may it give us great spiritual comfort to know our souls are redeemed in the care of your eternal glory. For as Paul declares in Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as we step forward with spiritual confidence in the days of this new week, may we celebrate the truth of Psalm 16, that you make known to us the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. With confidence, therefore, we offer you thanks, O God, and praise, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Katie, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
A reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 can be found in your Pew Bible, page 881. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Yes, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Our communion hymn this morning reminds us of the joy of being invited to share in the blessing of a hearty meal with beloved people in our lives. Except the images portrayed in the verses of this communion hymn remind us that our Lord Jesus is the one who is inviting us on Sunday mornings as we are commemorating what Christ has offered us for our salvation. As the first verse states, we come as guests invited when Jesus bids us dine, his friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is freely poured for us in solemn token of Christ, our dying Lord. We are welcomed by our Lord Jesus at his table in order to share the elements that remind us of the sacrifice he has made for us. We turn to our communion hymn. It's number 386. We sing all stanzas, please, of We Come as Guest Invited.
We come as guests invited when Jesus bids us dine. His friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is freely poured for us in solemn token of Christ our dying Lord. We eat and drink, receiving from Christ the grace we need, and in our hearts believing on him by faith we feed. With wonder and thanksgiving for love that knows no end, we find in Jesus living our ever-present friend. One bread is ours for sharing, one single fruitful vine, our fellowship declaring, renewed in bread and wine. Renewed, sustained, and given by token, sign, and word, the pledge and seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this invitation to come to this table. And as we take this bread and we drink this cup, let us be reminded of the tremendous sacrifice that was done for us so we will have eternal life with you someday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. In his pastoral advice to young Timothy, the Apostle Paul prompts Timothy to tell the followers in his charge to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. And in doing so, they will lay for themselves a treasure that lays in the solid foundation for life which is true. Sharing a portion of our resources for the benefit of God's work in our tangible world is but one way that we can help create the foundation of a true Christ-like life here on earth. We embrace these thoughts as Doug leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the blessings you have given us. We're thankful for living in America to where we can choose our work and then retire and have the money and means to support ourselves. As we gather our tithes and offerings this morning, let them be blessed for the operation of this church and to spread your word throughout the community and the world. In this we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we're privileged to be in your house. We pray for your blessing upon those who were unable to be present with us today because of the weather circumstances. But Lord, as all of us journey forward with the new week, may we be mindful that your Holy Spirit is always with us to guide us and direct us in ways that can bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Over the next several weeks of this new year, I want to ask some questions about why certain things happened in Jesus's ministry. And so, of course, we know the big kickoff for his ministry at the age of 30 was, of course, his own baptism. But we may ask the question, well, why was Jesus baptized? After all, he was without sin and did not need any measure of redemption, did he? But yet we know that John the Baptist even declares concerning Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, that he told his followers, well, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So a great, awesome kind of understanding that John the Baptist has about Jesus. It's no wonder then that in Matthew's account, we discover that even John the Baptist tried to change Jesus' mind about being baptized by him. When John said to him in verse 14 of chapter 3, I ought to be baptized by you. Yet Jesus replied in the following verse, let it be so for now, for in this way we shall all do what God requires. And we know then that John agreed. But yet as we look at the Jewish culture and the prophetic teachings, what we discover is that there were actually about five different reasons why Jesus knew that he needed to be baptized. Well, what were they? First of all, Jesus coming to John communicated his approval of John's type of baptism that was to bear witness that this was a form of repentance required of believers and approved of God. Now, being washed with water has been a ritual act of cleansing and repentance for the Hebrew and Jewish people for centuries, when we come up finally to this time of Jesus and John the Baptist. Even during Jesus' time, when the Jewish pilgrims approached the temple entrance in Jerusalem, they would take off their outer garments and wash themselves in these large pools of water that were just outside the main entrance and at the lower level of the steps that went up to the gates into the temple. So again, here's this big pool of water, about 2 feet in depth, kind of like the shallow end of your neighborhood swimming pool, about the size of this room. There would be like one of them, and there would be several of them. Why several? Because you'd have hundreds of people going into the temple grounds all at one time. And imagine how refreshing it was, especially in that era of time, for these people who rarely took baths. And the roads and pathways are so dusty. It's so hot. Anybody lived in South Texas besides me, you know, hot, humid, sweltery, dry out weather. Oh my gosh, the idea of being able to kind of just pour some water over your head. You know, when I was a kid, I'd take the garden hose, just go like this. You know, when I was mowing the yard, that's what I'd do, because the water coming out of the hose was warm enough anyway down in the south, right? Just to get yourself cleansed. It just was comforting in and of itself. But that's what the people would do before they would then come out of the water, put their outer garments back on, and make their way up the steps into the entrance into the temple. They felt like they were somewhat cleansed, if you will, to be before the presence of God in the temple grounds. That the people understood. In addition to that, the people who saw John the Baptist knew that John came from what was called the Essene community, kind of like a monastic group that resided outside in the desert lands away from the southwest corner of the Dead Sea. Yet, in spite of the arid conditions that those people lived in, and in spite of the fact that they provided very little for themselves personally as far as personal comforts, they actually live in tents outside in the desert area and only have communal buildings and property. Yet inside those communal buildings, there were hewn into the ground what became pools. So you actually walked down, kind of like our own baptistry, walked down into the water, and they would go through a cleansing ritual as a way of preparing themselves to be before the Lord's presence. And so we understand that this form of baptism was being affirmed by God in Jesus' own baptism. Second, before Jesus started out in his public ministry, it was really important for him to first recognize the forerunner. Who was that? Of course, John the Baptist. Remember the text of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The text says that there will first be a voice crying in the wilderness. And as the King James Version states, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. As John baptized Jesus, he was declaring to the world that, hey, here is the one that we've been waiting for. And indeed, here is the one that will now baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Third, through his own baptism, Jesus was communicating to all potential believers that although he was of God and from God, he could identify with you and me, with all of us human beings as believers. Jesus' baptism symbolized the sinner's baptism into the righteousness of Christ, dying with him and then raising up free from sin and able to start out with a newness of life. That's why when we have baptisms here in this church using that particular baptistry above us, that there is a particular scripture text that I use at the start of every baptism. It comes from the Apostle Paul, the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Beginning with the 3rd verse, the text says, "For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life." This is why Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by going under the water and coming back up out of the water. This is why in our fellowship we have what we call baptism by immersion. You know, maintaining a baptistry is an expensive proposition. Even filling it up takes a good bit of water. And now, having served in about 12 churches, I guarantee you that every church I've served, which has had at least one baptistry, one church I served had two, one in the chapel, one in the sanctuary, which was very unique. But every baptistry was a problem. They either leak, or the heaters don't work, or there's always some question about one thing or another going wrong with them. But they take a lot of work to maintain, don't they, Don? Don knows. He keeps ours up and going and keeps that leak at bay, right? But why do we do this? Because, again, the imagery is so powerful, and Jesus portrays this imagery for us. As he, like we, when we go into the water, it's symbolic of our old self dying. And as we come up out of the water, It is the image of starting a new life, renewed in a relationship with God. And that's why that text from the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, is also so powerful. The fourth reason for Jesus' baptism is this. We know that by virtue of his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, whom we talked about during the Christmas season, remember? That John the Baptist was of the priestly tribe of Levi, and therefore he was a direct descendant of Aaron, the head of the priestly clan. The duty of the priest was to bring the sacrificial sin offerings before the altar, seeking forgiveness for the sin of the Hebrew tribe. We also know that the angel's pronouncement of Jesus' birth was given first to whom? The shepherds out in the fields beyond Bethlehem. Those shepherds took care of the sheep that were used for the sin offering in the temple in Jerusalem. So it seems most appropriate that John the Baptist, in his priestly role in performing Jesus' baptism, he is presenting to the world the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. Right? And there is also a fifth, and possibly the most significant, element about Jesus' baptism by immersion. It is the perfect embodiment of the triune God. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How is it God the Son? Well, in the fact that here Jesus is, walks into the Jordan there with John the Baptist. He is presenting himself not only to those people watching, but to all the world, that he is God incarnate. He is God in the presence of people as a human being. But as he goes into the water, what happens? The text tells us that as he comes up out of the water, the heavens open up, and there descends from heaven the Holy Spirit in the form of what? A dove. Dove is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. It's also a symbol of peace. So Christ not only gives us the Holy Spirit, he gives us peace. And then, so there's the Holy Spirit element. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, how about God the Father? Well, we know as the dove descends upon Jesus, a voice comes from the heavens. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. A wonderful, powerful affirmation from God the Father that here is the blessing of the Son filled with the Holy Spirit. You see? And so we see at Jesus' baptism this very precious embodiment of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Wonderful imagery here. But then we must ask ourselves, well, what does all of this have to do with you and me? Well, we raise the question to you, have you been baptized? And if so, how? You know, when I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, I was baptized by sprinkling a little bit of water on the head. But when we joined up with the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, of which we are a part, you know, back in my late grade school years, learned more about Jesus. And I was committed to the idea that I really wanted to follow Christ's example. And so, in consulting with Brother Veal, my pastor back then, I was decided, yeah, I do want to be baptized by immersion. And what a powerful, powerful experience that was for me. But why do that? Because there was a way to identify with the very example that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, had set forth for us. And in following his example, a real powerful affirmation that when we make our confession of faith and when we are baptized, we are truly celebrating our desire to walk in a godly way through Christ's example. Right? And so now you know five different reasons why Jesus said to John the Baptist, no, I understand you don't want to do this, but go ahead anyway, because in doing this, we're going to follow God's purposes. Do you understand now? I hope you do. If you've not been baptized by immersion as we start this new year, maybe that's something you'd like to consider doing. Maybe you've already made that confession of faith, but maybe you were not baptized by immersion. If you have been, celebrate it and understand the depth of meaning behind it. Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he isn't, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day you need to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 559. We'll sing all stanzas of All the Way My Savior Leads Me. May we stand, please. 559.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, cloaked immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus, lead me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus, led me all the way.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you safe travels as we journey through the day. Again, a couple of reminders. We do want to continue to lift up the fact that we started off our campaign, you know, for the youth director position. Do want to especially emphasize that next Sunday, right after this service, we will have that turkey dinner, thank you, potluck lunch. But immediately afterward, while we're still down in the fellowship hall, our regional minister, Bill Roseheim, will be visiting with all of us, helping us to kind of get that congregational profile and giving everyone who is present at that time opportunity to voice your ideas and help us create that congregational profile that will be used for seeking candidates, we hope, in the future. So please be aware of the lunch next Sunday. Hope that you'll stay and join us for that. And again, remember, we do still have the training for our deacons, elders, and junior deacons tomorrow night for anybody who wasn't able to make it this morning as well. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, guide us today as we step forward in the new week. We know your Spirit is with us, and for this we give thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the magi and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To bring hope to every task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart, and sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.